Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagen.
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everyone. Chuck Bonniewell, Julie Hayden. Got my golfing hat on because I just came back from the stimulator.
What do you mean the stimulator? Come on. You said you were going to do some golf.
Yeah.
We're going to have to be getting a little closer,
Julie.
You keep talking. Matt is just...
All right. Our guest is just calling in right now.
Yeah.
So we've got a great show for you today. We're going to have Matt Arnold, one of the best analysis people in the state, part of campaign integrity, watchdog, judicial, clear the bench, and some other things. We're also going to have Denise Mundt, the head of the Jefferson County Republican Party, who put out a press release. It was the lead story in Complete Colorado about all the fraudulent votes they found once they looked a little closer. Just amazing stuff.
Hey, man, I'm trying to type and listen to you at the same time. Hey, let me do this.
This is pretty good. I'm enjoying this a lot more than the usual, trying to shout over Julie's voice like I'm doing now.
To the whole stimulator question. Hey, to our producers here, Matt Arnold, we have a little trouble with the Zoom. If you could go ahead and call him on that backup number that I gave you, that would be great. We'll get into the stimulator situation a little bit earlier. I was just reading.
It's always booked. I wonder why.
All
the guys in my club seem to want to go to the
stimulator. He's like, I'm booked for the next 2 weeks. Maybe it's not funny, but anyway, why am I laughing? Put a GPS tracker.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this later too, if there's time. I just was reading there's the stimulus bill, which, by the way, Nancy Pelosi, first of all, $1,200 was just peanuts, not even worth dealing with.
So
now she's raised it all the way up to, cut it in half.
And now it's tremendous. It's just what the country needs.
Exactly. Including.
And the bill is only 5,993 pages long. So all 593.90 pages are to help you.
Right.
Every one of them. Every little, nook and cranny in there stuck in by lobbyists is going to be for you, not the big corporations, not the Uniparty, not the cities and states that have shut all our jobs.
They certainly wouldn't give $700 million to Sudan.
Oh, well,
but they would.
Yeah, run by the Marxists. It's an excellent investment for me and for you and all of us.
It's just, I think that's the only reason they're keeping us locked down so they could do this. Hopefully, they won't continue it. But
what do you mean, hopefully? They're going to continue it into spring because the vaccine won't be out there till then,
Now the headline I was reading this today, it's like the mutations are going to be vaccine resistant.
Oh, of course.
So we'll have to keep making money.
Money. Because it grows on trees. I will play, I think, later this week, one of the Senate speeches by Rand Paul. Says if money goes on trees, why 600? Why not 60,000 each?
Right. Yeah, just give everybody.
Why not just do 1 million each? Why not? Guaranteed income, whatever else.
Republicans voted for it. And,
of course they voted. Mitch McConnell said this was great. This was so did Nancy. And Mitch is out looking for you. He's trying to help you out. Nancy, of course, you've always known, is on your side.
And let me know, to our producers here, we're waiting for Matt Arnold to join us on Zoom. Hard to text and talk, but I could do it.
I want you to multitask.
Exactly. We've got Mark, though. Mark, you could be Matt Arnold. No, you're kidding. You're wearing your, I like your shirt there.
Thanks. I'm at home.
You chimed in. We always love to hear from you. What do you have to say?
Your guy said that I should be on or something. I didn't mean to do that. I'm just totally upset with Barr and the rest of everything going on.
He did a wonderful job of making sure we don't need frivolous special counsels for Biden or for the election. No special counsels for them.
No, uh-uh.
It's just totally frustrating. I don't know what to say because it seems like it gets worse every day.
It does. That's exactly how I feel. And I'll tell you two things. Golf and alcohol will help you.
And the stimulator.
And the stimulator. I'll tell you all about the stimulator privately.
Hey, I'll have to do something with that because golf frustrates me right now too. But it's just totally frustrating.
All right. Hey, we've got Matt Arnold. Mark, thank you for rescuing us there and saving in. Matt, go ahead and unmute yourself if you can. Do you see the little microphone there at the bottom of the – there you go. We're looking for Matt Arnold. Okay, I see. Can you hear us okay? Matt? What? Okay, for some reason, we're not hearing you. Oh, there you are.
Hey,
thank you.
You look like you lost a little weight. Have you?
They sent you to ports – far away that
you look good.
Yeah, so I was getting an echo because I still had the Facebook live meeting on when I was trying to get in the Zoom.
Great.
So hey, long time no chat. How you guys doing?
Happy holidays to you and your family. So we called you.
Well, first explain who he is, Julie.
Oh, okay. Well, Matt Arnold is with. I was tweeting about him all day. So Matt Arnold is with, among other things, Campaign Integrity Watchdog. And one of the things Matt does is he follows the money. And he finds it when they being Republicans, try to hide it.
Well, not
not just Republicans. Leftists of all stripes, including some who are registered R's.
Okay. Right. And one of the reasons we wanted to talk to you is we had heard that this was coming. The Denver Post did, to me, there's no other word for it than a hit piece.
It's a hatchet job, yeah.
A hatchet job on Patrick Neville and essentially grassroots Republicans quoting other Republicans to say, oh, my God, we can't believe that Patrick Neville gives money to a consulting group that his brother and his father are part of. And meanwhile, they're the whole reason that Republicans don't win in Colorado anymore. So we want.
Well, here's the article, and I must admit I had to really find a lot of people before I found anybody who read it, including Matt.
It was on the first front page, below the fold of the Denver Post.
But it says, in
the people read the Post anymore, other than those who have birds, I suppose.
Yeah. Well, here's what this is the overview of it. But they say they wanted to look at what happened to the Republican Party, which was recently dominant as soon as early as 2002. Mix of factors. Allegedly mismanaged campaign money is the first one. And that's not all the money given to Clear Creek Strategies, not all the money given to Josh Penry,
Bob O'Pray, and everything else,
the ones that was used against it. The fundamental disagreement over the party and its direction and message, which they say is too extreme and needs to be more moderate and democratic.
Right, because, I mean, Democrat, light, and Democrat, what's not to like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Mark flavors of leftism to choose from.
Yeah, right. Well, we could be the angle part of Marx and Engel, and there be the Marx part. I mean, that's a good part. Increasing strength of the Democratic Party, Democratic shifts that contribute heavily to GOP's disbanded voter registration, and, quote, unpopularity of President Donald Trump, who one pollster referred to as the rocket booster for Colorado Democrats. That's it. And then
that was the most I did. And thanks, Julie, for sending me the article so I could see the text, because I do not subscribe to the Denver Pravda and I will not pay even the 99 cents for their online edition. I do not support leftist liars. And that's pretty much what the Pravda has become. It's a shame. It's not even fit for birdcage liner. And the article was a joke. Yeah. It was nothing more than a screed for the establishment. I don't even call them rhinos anymore. I think the better term is diablos, Democrats in all but label only, because these people do not have a principled bone in their body. And, you know, the people they got to quote, Kevin Priola, who voted with Democrats more than any other, you know, so-called Republican in the Colorado State Senate, Larry Liston, directly benefited from illegal law-breaking campaign activity by Both Ways Bob, getting him elected to the state house. And then most recently, this last year, his buddy Eli Bremer, the crooked chair of Senate District 10, rigged the election at the caucus so that the challenger, David Syver, couldn't even get on the ballot. It was the most gross malfeasance And they got away with it because rigged elections aren't just a thing for Democrats.
Wait a minute, Matt. I mean, I love the Denver Post and read the Denver Post because it's the Bible for us here in Colorado. And I've seen nothing about this rigging
I've
heard about is Ken Buck unethically trying to force the poor Eli Bremer to report an election one that's totally false, for which there are criminal charges requested for by the Republicans and the Democrats. And that you never hear that what it's about. But here's the other thing.
I do remember that when the Post coverage of that was horrendous. Shameful. It was biased, and it pretty much was an Eli Bremer press release. Pravda isn't worth the paper it's printed on.
But here's, I just read their general consensus in the thing. Other problems the GOP face, they appear to culminate in the election of undisciplined or otherwise fringe candidates in safe seats over the last decade, said Frank Minolti, a former Republican Speaker of the Colorado House. One of those candidates, those candidates mean undisciplined or otherwise fringe candidates, was Neville of Castle Rock, who was elected in 2014. House Republicans, the elevated minority lead, having keys to banks. But few things changed. So that's it. It's good old Frank Minolti. Another, I don't know. Rhino is not strong enough.
What word do you?
Diablo.
Yeah, that's a much better word.
Let me talk a little bit.
No, not that. You wouldn't know we were married, would you?
Never guess.
You miss a whole stimulator meetings that Chuck's been going through. Yeah, right. That's all.
They're a lot of fun.
Now
I forgot what I was
doing. All right, then
you succeeded again, Julie.
That's my point.
I've got to get that button back. We'll let Chuck
talk.
Here's
one thing I want to point out, though, for folks who may not. Again, this article is so biased. I mean, it was written by the Diablo Republicans.
No,
it wasn't. They talk about fringe. Patrick Neville isn't fringe. Fringe is Kevin Priola, and he's so fringe, even Democrats don't like it. He's fringe for the progressive. He sponsored the safe heroin injection site bill, right? We've got, from what I understand, other people they talk about in there, Colin Larson, apparently his wife
wasn't
works.
It Priola and Owen What's-His-Face from the Rhino Preserve of Colorado Springs who sponsored the free tuition for illegals.
These are fringe ideas even for Democrats. And the other thing I want to point out, another person they quote in there as a conservative is Greg Brophy. Well, Greg Brophy solicits and accepts money from Democrats. So what they do is
raises money for Democrats.
Yeah. Greg has been a complete sellout. And interestingly enough, they talk about how, the tough time Republicans had in the House. Greg Brophy was raising money for Democrat House candidates. So it's kind of hard to say, Republicans are not doing as well. And here's a great Republican who happens to be raising money to advocate for the reelection of a Democrat House candidate.
Who's the only one to lose? I mean, maybe we ought to have Brophy raise more money for more candidates, Democratic candidates, so they can lose.
That's one that Pat and Joe Neville and Values First and Take Back Colorado did get behind and did support. And it was kind of a stealth win. It was a good win in a district that it was a tight district. And, one of the few competitive districts. And that is where the Republicans have lost the state. You might recall my other shirt, I'm actually wearing it, Clear the Bench Colorado from a few years ago, when back in 2010, I was letting everybody know about the importance of the redistricting and state district reapportionment that was happening in 2010 and 2011. And guess what? The Republican Party under Ryan Call completely Udskray the Uchpe and did not play in that. And because of that, the Democrats drew the map, which gave them a permanent majority in the state house. It was an unassailable majority only on the basis of how they drew the lines in the map. And because of that, Republicans could only compete in one chamber in the state Senate. And that's kind of gone back and forth, but they have been permanently drawn out of the state house because of that redistricting battle, which the Republicans completely failed to even show up to fight.
Well, yeah. No, I guess because I remember the fight, and they did try to do it, but it went up to our fair, neutral, and
Colorado Supreme Court. Yes,
Supreme Colorado Supreme Court, who just adopted the Democrat map.
Believe me, I was covering that intensely at the time. Right. And oh, by the way, another great example of Republicans that the article cites, Rob Whitwer, was one of the commissioners on that commission, along with Never Trumper and Lincoln Project shill Mario Nicholas, who is also backer of Both Ways Bob Beaupre and a whole slew of illegal law-breaking campaign finance organizations.
Right.
So if you want to point the finger at how Colorado Republicans have lost the state, pointing at Mario Nicholas, pointed at Rob Whitwer, pointed at Larry Liston, pointed at Kevin Priola, but it's absolutely unfair to point it at the likes of principal conservatives like Pat Neville, Justin Everett, great freedom warriors who were solid until they were drawn out of their.
Well, here's one other one, and I'm finally getting a little traction after I don't know how many years of trying to get that. Once you had mail-in ballots. Yeah.
Bingo. Another one that the Republicans, Secretary of State Wayne Williams, was all on board with that one.
Yes, sir.
Also, by the way, he's been the one of the folks out there shilling for Dominion software about how completely secure it is. So if you believe Wayne Williams, you're a sucker.
But because I've done mail ballot elections. I've done it in the same place for the year before. It was everybody came to the polls, and then they loosened up the absentee ballot requirements, so anybody could get one and so forth. And it's like night and day.
Yep.
Well, yeah, the article doesn't even mention what happened to the Republican Party.
Well, they didn't mention that in
absolute clear things. I mean, these are the things that people don't talk about. The Post completely suppresses, but that's why we've seen this shift. I mean, yes, demographics played a role to some extent. Yeah, you could argue there's some Trump hatred that really kind of fired up some Democrats. But the real reasons, the underlying reasons are the districting and the mail-in ballots. And well, you take those away, and all of a sudden it's competitive again.
Right.
Well, mail-in ballots, I can tell you how the campaign shift, because I did it in the same city. The first one, you go to people who are regular voters, because getting people to the polls who don't like to vote is a full-time job, and it's very difficult. So you try to convince those who vote most often, i.e.
The get out the vote effort is a big part of any campaign,
Right, but it's getting those people, because they're going to vote probably anyway, and then you got to get another 10% of the people, if you're lucky, that don't normally vote to do your side.
Right.
When you do the mail-in ballots, what it is, it's 180 degrees. You don't care about the people who vote all the time. I mean, you give some.
Because they're going to, right?
Yeah. So you spend all your time on, apartment houses.
On the margins, right? You identify, and this is something, again, that the Democrats excelled at in 2018, is identifying those, you know, quote unquote, unaffiliated, who in the middle, everybody's, there's this great thing in the middle, and who knows, then they say, well, they all lean left. No, they don't all lean left, but the Democrats have done a great job of identifying those unaffiliated who do lean left and turn them out, while the Republicans have no clue, and all the unaffiliated who lean right are ignored.
Right.
Here's what you do. You go to an apartment house that's got 200 units, full of people who never voted before, don't care about voting, everything else. You go in there, you invite them to parties, you do everything else to get them to register to vote, and they all vote for you. You know how many 200 apartment ones would? You win by like 300-0. And this is a small town, so 300 votes. That's what the Democrats do. And it's easier for them, but because these people don't
it's
care
old school
about
machine politics. It's machine politics.
And now what the Democrats also do here in Colorado is they go to old age homes, they pay off the manager, and have the manager say, you don't want to vote for – you get some 85-year-old. No, you don't want to vote for that awful Trump. You need to vote here. And that's what they do.
Let me get back to that.
They actually do it.
What I want to talk about,
which is illegal as hell, but yeah, they get away with it.
What's illegal? There's nothing illegal in Colorado.
We're going to talk about that too with Jeff, where they discovered.
No, we don't want to get back to it.
Our other enemy is the establishment Republicans, so, and that's what I want to talk about.
Establishment Republicans. That is, you have to understand that the establishment.
That is the enemy.
Here's the deal. So you have Ken Buck, who's, I don't know, I love him kind of on a personal level, but
yeah, Ken's a good guy.
Yeah. And so you go out there, and he has thing in the caucus room, which is all owned by Ted Anschutz, Phil Anschutz, hidden, of course, five ways to Sunday, but his lead attorney's there.
Those are a lot of the same folks that are behind the Both Ways Bob law-breaking effort are the ones that are driving caucus.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask about.
Let me finish.
Okay, well, Chuck, keep going. Come on. All right. God. We're going to run out of time.
We're not going to run out of time. And so he brings on county clerks from Republican counties. Now, this last election,
talk about the election.
Did they cheat in rural counties in Michigan? No, they cheated in Milwaukee. It doesn't do you any good to say that in Montrose or something they don't cheat. They cheat in Denver like hell. So he brings on all these Republican ones. It is perfect election because you didn't get out the Republican vote. You were doing what the Democrats were doing in Denver. It's asinine. And I'm not sure whether it's corruption or stupidity in this part. I really don't know.
Yes.
Yes. Both. Well, let me back with the Denver Post article because I think, though, this is why people just need to be aware that there is a war going on. I mean, I think it's a very
the
real
war. The war is over, unfortunately.
Well, but I mean, not against some of the establishment.
Over? Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
The Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
But I want to ask you, Matt, what do you think is... Oh, who's this? Whoa, who's this?
My youngest, Miles. Say hi, Miles.
Hi.
Hi, Miles.
Hey, Miles, how you doing? You joining your dad?
You ready for the holidays?
Okay.
Yeah, you've been good, I bet, huh?
Yeah.
Mostly.
Mostly. Well, it's not your dad's fault. We know your parents, so.
Yeah, it's all their fault. It's always nurture, not nature.
Is he the one who got you on? Is he the one who got you on Zoom when you were having a little bit of trouble there? Did he?
Yeah. What is this?
That's some cards.
That's like the other day we're in the middle of our show. Rev comes down, interrupts me in the show to see can he spend some money on his video game. I'm like, we're doing a radio show.
How old is he?
He just turned 3 in October.
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's my youngest.
Yeah, I'm 3 years old.
You're 3
old. Yeah. 3 years old.
Oh, my gosh. I thought you were much older.
I'm 25.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, he's already starting to read and everything.
Pretty sure. Wow.
Yeah, he goes, his brothers kind of give him a head start, and then he falls along. He's a very smart kid.
Huh. All right. What a doll. What a doll. Well, we don't want to corrupt him.
No.
But poor Rev is probably used to it at your house. Or Rev's used to it at our house. He's probably used to it, too. What are these sneaky Republicans up to? Why are they planting these stories and trying to destroy
it comes down to the money, right? And there's always a fight for who's going to control the money and how the money's going to be spent. Of course, that's why they led with that. Oh, I know the campaign funds are being misspent. Well, you know, actually, in a very tough year, in a very bad year for Republicans, the House committee stood pat. They got a win where a win was not expected. And, you know, I don't know what they're whining about. Well, it could have been better spent on other candidates. What other candidates? What other wins were they expecting to get that they did not get?
Yeah.
They actually, for what they had to work with, achieved better results than anyone really had a right to expect going in. Now, did they turn back the state? No. But you look at, well, how about the Senate Majority Fund? Well, they lost ground. And funny about the fact that they're paying the person running the Senate Majority Fund, Daniel Cole, is paying himself $10,000 a month, which when the Reardon payments were $6,000 a month, and that was paying not just Joe Neville, that was paying a staff of people who are canvassing, who are doing door-to-door operations, who are designing mailers and things like that. So it wasn't one guy. Daniel Cole, that's a one-man show. He's raking in $10,000 a month, but of course the pros had no reason to talk about that because it doesn't fit the narrative.
Well,
They talked about, oh, Matt Arnold set up a couple of corporations that he's getting paid for. First off, flat out lie. No corporations. Now I have a company. It's an LLC. And I get paid by Values First to do their campaign finance filings. That's what the company does. And it does it at a rate that is competitive with, in some cases, less than other folks doing this. So, and that's, and what, by the way, that's right there on the campaign finance reports. Conrad Swanson just picked the type of spending, which is the general category, consultant and professional services. Aha! They're paying Matt Arnold for a consultant and professional services and not saying what it is. Well, no, idiot. Read the damn report. It says campaign finance management services, which is paying to do the filing of the reports. That's why I am the designated filing agent for that.
My guess is he didn't. If he just had this stuff handed to him, here's another thing.
No, he didn't hand it to him. You don't understand how it works, Julie. It was written for him.
I'm sure.
And he goes to these people. He says, "Give me the dirt." They give
him all.
He didn't do all the research.
I guess.
Of course, he didn't do. They never do the research.
Right.
We don't do the research at the Chronicle. God, we did a huge thing on CDOT. What do you think we got it from? We got it from CDOT employees. I mean, you never do it yourself because you never have the capacity to.
But back to though, this,
well, no, wait,
I want to talk about though the other corruption.
No,
now the other corruption.
No, you can't talk over me. So the
get Miles in here.
Yeah. So what you have is an article, and if you'd replied back to him, they just would have trashed you more, no matter what you said to him.
Yeah, and also, oh yeah, I called Matt Arnold. I didn't know there was I think one email that was sent, and it was sent in during the middle of my finals. So you know, sorry, dude, I got other things going on right now.
Finals for what?
Law school.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew you were probably going.
Yeah, I've gone to the dark side. I just finished my second semester of law school.
Where?
So far, so good. You know, knock on wood. But
where?
I don't want to put it on air, but I'll tell you guys afterwards.
Maybe you should become a doctor like Joe Biden, though.
Then you will be a doctor. You get your Juris Doctor. You can call yourself
my
doctor.
JD, that's right.
Yeah. One of the things, too, I wanted to point out.
I can be pretentious and call myself Esquire.
There you go.
Doctor. Matt Arnold Esquire. That's how the worst of the worst do.
That's what Chuck makes me call him.
Yeah, that's right.
In the morning. So what about, though, one of the things that they were trashing the Nevilles, saying with their funds, saying that, you know, they give it to family members or they do this. One of the most, but they don't leave, they don't fill you in, and we'll have you talk about the Beaupré, as Chuck used to refer to them, crime family in a second.
Beaupré.
But the other.
All that money was being paid to Bob's son-in-law.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, though. Yeah, sure. Not a problem.
Well, and what about, too, with the Walker Stapleton campaign, which, by the way, the Republicans lost. It's not that the Nevilles had nothing to
usually.
Do with it. Am I not mistaken, or am I not correct in that? So we had Walker Stapleton's campaign manager was the partner with a consulting firm that they hired to do his campaign consulting, right? So
It was a very one-sided hit piece, and you can argue that, well, okay, so Pat's funneling business over to his brother Joe, but Joe has been effective for a long time, and Values First has done a pretty good job in difficult circumstances. I was very impressed when I took on the job of doing their campaign finance filings at the amount of small donor contributions they were getting. They were getting a flood of folks coming in, you know, with just a huge number. And frankly, it was a huge amount of work because when I took on, I looked at sort of the past patterns of the House fund, and it mostly been, you know, a few big checks from the big donors and the usual suspects. It was like, all right, well, so I set my rate based on that expected level of work. And then all of a sudden, you know, I'm getting these first filings due, and it's like, oh my God, I've got hundreds and hundreds of these small donor filings, which all have to be entered in. And it was a lot of work. And I really had a bust hump to make it happen. But, you know, of course I did, because Campaign Integrity Watchdog at the time and my new business, Campaign Law Accountability Watchdog, it's the best in the business. It's the most accurate. It's the most bang for your buck and the best return on investment. And that's why they hired me. because they knew.
Well, you know it more than
the best.
Right. You know it better. Yeah, because you. I know Wayne Williams' assistant did her own one, and that was hilarious.
That was a bit of a that was another fiasco. and the corruption in that, that could be a whole other topic.
Well, what do you see? Well, let's go to a more specific, and then the general. Who do you see now that Ken Buck has screwed over Susan Beckman to win a rigged election? And now she's working in the federal government. Who's going to be the next chair of the Republican Party?
Well, I'm not as plugged into that as I used to be. I've heard a few rumors of a few names of folks that are interested in the job.
I can tell you who's going to be if you want to know.
Are the initials Scott Gessler?
Scott Gessler.
And he's,
that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and he's totally tied in with Josh Penry, Clear Creek Strategies. He's just a swamp creature. He's a pretty good lawyer. I'll give him that.
He's a
Ryan.
Decent lawyer. I've actually used a lot of the cases he's lost to help with the cases that I've won.
Oh, okay. You'll be a better lawyer once you get that degree. Once you get that law degree, you'll be better at doing those cases. But at any rate, and so it'll just be the same old, same old. And it doesn't, because I'm not on the SEC, which is the Central Committee. Why somebody didn't stand up saying, well, we have an election. Shauna rigs them for you. You know, she takes the prosties and rigs them.
Well,
they
don't
have
do anything anyway, though.
That's another. I mean, the Republican Party needs to clean up their own act. And first off, you need to get rid of the Butterball because she's been a complete catastrophe up at the state office. And you need to get rid of the whole proxy thing, which allows a rigging of these elections. Let the actual people who are involved vote. And if you can't show up, okay, then you don't vote, but you don't just hand over a fistful of proxies to the swamp creatures that come in and anoint, one of their establishment.
Well, no, it's worse than that because I followed the election. What they did is they were surprised by Susan Beckman's popularity.
Like what happened with Trump, right?
So they started taking him, just send me a text. That you want your proxy to go to somebody there. Just send me a text. And it got so close, they just started taking phone calls. Give it to Bob. And then they.
Yeah, which is completely against the rules. Never should have been allowed to happen.
Rules.
Rules are for little people.
They're no different than the Democrats. But once they get into the regular battle, then they just fold.
A battle against Democrats.
Then they quickly say we must be graceful in our losing.
And we have to be like Kevin Priolo. I mean, it's all our heroin injection.
Okay, so that I think Scott Gessler's in, whether people want him or not, doesn't matter, they'll rig it.
I would say he's got the inside track, but I never count out something that could happen. This the mood, I think, is getting a little bit disruptive. And, Scott is not a shoo-in. I think he's, by far the favorite, but I don't think it's a done deal. I think, like you said, some people may try to make it a done deal, but I don't think that that's
necessarily.
Well,
if he had a fair election, he's not. Yeah. If he had a fair election, he's not in. But if
if he has a fair election, he can win. I mean, Scott's an effective campaigner. He's got a lot of connections. He's known a lot of these people. He could win an honest election, but
they're not going to leave it.
So could somebody else.
Well, no, not if Butterball has her way.
I said an honest election.
Yeah. An honest election.
Well, what Susan Beckman said, her biggest mistake was she said, if I get elected, I'll clear out this place. So you think the people in charge of the election kind of went, okay.
Let me hear just a couple more questions for you because then we have to let you go. And thank you for your time here.
Absolutely.
Is there hope? I mean, the one thing that I got to wonder is, are they more scared of the grassroots folks like Dave Williams, like Justin Everett, like the Nevilles, than maybe we would know because they're doing pieces like this? I mean, is there?
Oh, yeah. No, it's clearly this is setting the stage. And this is clearly the opening battle, and the reason for it is it's the opening battle in the state party chair election. It is no accident that this happened around the time that Ken Buck announced that he was not going to be running again. This is setting the stage for that. This is going to set the camps. This is going to it's the propaganda. It's trying to depress the grassroots and to make them less inclined to participate and just want to withdraw. and to bolster the establishment and to kind of, you know, let it be known that, well, you know, Larry Listen thinks that we need to be more moderate. So, well, gee, Larry Listen got elected. So that must be the case. Well, Larry Listen, is – I can't say everything I want to say about Larry Listen. But he is a crook. He benefited from a crooked election to get him in his current spot. He benefited from crooked shenanigans to win back in 2016 with Both Ways Bob. Those were all illegal activities. And
really think.
if that was a censored.
That's a censored version of it.
That's a censored version, yes.
Yeah, and I think, though, this is my hope, because I think in part the stolen national election things here, I think grassroots people and Trump supporters are mad. And I think they're tired. They're tired of being locked down. They're tired of having their businesses destroyed. They're tired of having, you know, Congress say, oh, we're going to send you $600 now. I mean, I think
Republicans in this state need to get behind small businesses and families. They need to get out there and be seen and be active in defending these people. They need to be bringing a lawsuit after lawsuit. If Scott could actually be useful in heading some of these lawsuits against the state, that's where they could be win or lose. You've got to be out there fighting.
Yes.
And I have been studying this, you know, early on, a lawsuit against what the governors were doing was doomed to fail. And you know, you've probably heard of Jacobson deference, and that's all the courts were. Oh, Jacobson deference. The state can do whatever it wants.
Right.
For the first few months of the crisis, where it was arguably still a crisis or emergency, that still held sway. But Jacobson deference has basically been shot down by the U.S. Supreme Court, and we're going to see more and more cases are going to succeed against these abuses of executive authority. They will be reined in. And whether or not it's not going to happen easily, it's not going to happen quickly, but we've already seen some cases, federal cases in Colorado, that have been successful. There will be more, but people have got to have the guts to fight. They've got to put together a good case, and they've got to be aggressive in bringing these cases.
And if where that happens, where were they
Republicans
successful?
Can win.
Where were they successful?
Well,
very few go to the Supreme Court. So yes,
they've been successful. And what that was actually one of my law school classes last semester. So I'll toot my own a little bit. Actually, I sent in my paper making this very prediction. Within minutes, and it was like my last assignment right before midnight, before Thanksgiving. Within minutes, I check my Twitter feed, and the Supreme Court has issued its ruling in the Roman Arch-Catholic Diocese versus Cuomo.
Yeah.
That is just one case. There have been others. Pennsylvania is a good case. There's a great case in Wisconsin. There's a great case in Michigan. There's even been good cases in California, and there are more of those cases in California. Look, if you can win in California, you can win anywhere.
Okay. Wait a minute. You can win on the revised Ninth Circuit. The Tenth Circuit is far worse than the Ninth Circuit.
Well, the Tenth Circuit has been a problem. But
well,
you
the
can
Tenth
still
Circuit,
win.
The Ninth Circuit is now almost 50-50.
That's right.
7-4 here. So to get a good panel is very tough.
You get a good grounding, you get a good case law, and then you get a split decision. Then you take it to you get cert in the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court has signaled very clearly they're not going to put up with this crap anymore.
Right.
Wait a minute. Yes, they are. They won't do it in the religious liberty case, but they've turned down all the other cases.
They're seeing some of the arbitrary and capricious cases get some standing
and I think
too.
That,
so
well, your point we'll is, I think the one thing people
again. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but you've got to bring the fight.
Well, do you think Scott Gessler will bring the fight?
Maybe.
Scott Gessler has the capability to bring the fight.
Well, if we can channel all the money to his law firm.
Well, there's that.
There's some of that. But he could bring the fight. He has the capability. He's a good enough lawyer to do that. Randy Corcoran is another good enough lawyer to do that. They're winnable fights, but the only fight you're guaranteed to lose is the fight you don't fight.
Right.
And that has been the Republican mantra. They have taken the John Paul Jones, I have not yet begun to fight, far too literally, because that is the Colorado Republican Party mantra.
That's a very good line.
All right, thanks, Matt.
And Miles.
Good to see both of you. And they grow up fast, as you know.
They do grow up fast.
Bye, you look.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Hey, great to see you guys.
Take care. You too. You know, let me read some of these chats here. Ben for party chair, Barney for chief of staff.
Dad, you gotta come to my mouth.
And then Ben says, no, Ben's retired. He supports Neil. We're going to draft Neil. But then Mark's trying to get him out of retirement.
Well, that's Julie and that's Chuck.
So, all right. There we go. Thank you, Miles.
We'll make him a regular part of the show.
A regular part, that's right. Hey, we're going to switch gears here. Well, not really switch gears, I guess. We're going to switch guests. We've got Denise Munn on the line. So, Denise, she's the chairperson of the Jefferson County Republican Party. And they're doing some of the heavy lifting, too. So, first off, Denise, thank you for your time. I know we're like your 800th appointment of the day. So, thank you for making time for us today.
Sure. Happy to be here. And thanks for asking me.
Why don't you tell us what your press release? Well, tell people a little bit about yourself and what the press release says.
Well, I have been chair now for almost 2 years, and in that time, have been working very closely with the county clerk's office on a number of things required by statute for the political party chairs to be involved in, and so I've learned the process. And then this year, we deployed over 360 poll watchers for the 13 days prior to the election and election day. And so we had a lot of people out there watching what was going on and giving me feedback. They'd send me texts or emails and keep me in touch with what was going on. But the biggest concern we had was when the data came in and we started to look at what had happened and started raising concerns. And I started with a back and forth email exchange with Cody Swanson, the director of elections for Jeffco. And he answered a number of my questions, like 35 or 40 of them. And I learned a lot about how Dominion is being used. But bottom line, since 2017, when Jeffco started using Dominion, our county went from being almost entirely red. There was one Democrat at that time in 2016.
Classic.
And currently, we're in a blue county. There are two Republicans elected countywide, and both of them ran unopposed.
So, well, and then, you know, there's lots to be concerned about here. And from what I understand, too, you guys had somebody go ahead and do an audit and you found what, some 3,000 cases of potentially fraudulent voters. I mean, why don't you walk us through some of the stuff there and tell us what are you guys trying to do about it?
Well, actually, I got a call out of the blue right before Thanksgiving. Somebody had been doing some data mining on voter registration records in Colorado and had read my name in a national publication and so contacted me and said what he'd been finding. And it ended up we purchased the data and did some more of our own digging into it because we wanted to submit it to the district attorney's office and we needed to do some verification before we could do that. We're still verifying much of it. But I have turned over 3,000 records to the district attorney's office. I don't know how long they will even look at it because we get a Democrat seated on January 12th, and this could be thrown in the trash right after that. The other thing I need to point out is that during this election cycle, our county clerk only turned over 7 potentially fraudulent records to the district attorney. There's a lot more out there than what they're looking at.
Yeah, one of the problems is, you know, even Republican judicial districts, they refuse to go after it. And in the 18th judicial district, there was one person who voted in two different counties, clearly fraudulent. They said, no, we don't have to take that because we only counted one of them. I mean, it's just shocking how little Republicans seem to know how badly they've gotten screwed, or maybe they're part of the screwing or whatever else it is. But let me ask you, do you work any at all with the head of the Republican Party in Arapahoe County? I don't even know who that is now.
No, that's Dorothy Gottlieb. No, the parties or the county parties operate separately.
Well, I know that, but the only, well, one of the only hopes you have is to teach Dorothy what you've learned, and that because you're actually going to have a Republican district attorney who won't throw it away. So if you could get a hold of Dorothy and say, it's not going to be any different in Arapahoe County. If they did it in Jefferson County, they did it in Arapahoe County. And if she could learn, maybe she doesn't want to. I don't know. Maybe she's compromised. But that's the only place that it's going to be brought, because what will happen is when Jefferson County comes in, they're firing everybody.
But yeah, there'll be nobody left. She's firing.
She's firing everybody. And so no matter how far they get along with it, it'll be destroyed, because she's very much a Soros DA. So just a recommendation, but somebody ought to get over to Dorothy if she's not totally compromised, and
We don't know that. Yeah.
I didn't say I knew that. Yeah. I said if she's not, and I don't know. You know, you find there are all kinds of people who get elected to things who are different than they purport to be. But I don't know Dorothy at all, so no aspersion to her. But if somebody could bring it over to Jefferson, to Arapahoe County, which is the 18th judicial district, and you don't have to worry about, you know, Douglas and all the other ones, because they probably didn't cheat there. But within Arapahoe County, I'm sure they cheated a lot. So I mean, it's just a recommendation. But when the new DA comes in, she's gonna clean house and be corrupt.
Yeah, yours will go to the bottom of the. Let me though.
Not the bottom. It'll go into the wastebasket.
Why don't you talk a little bit though about what you found though? Because I think people, we hear all the time. I mean, the mainstream media. I mean, this didn't get headline news, right? You know, Denise. But you talk about, you discovered what you think. You gave to the DA 3,000 records of potentially fraudulent voters, people who filed a change of address but still voted in Jeffco, deceased people voted from a correctional facility, you had two voter ID numbers. Why don't you talk a little bit about what you found, what the evidence is that you found?
Well, the queries that we ran are as you mentioned, the biggest file is the 2,500 that filed a national change of address. And so we're still combing through those, looking at public sites like real estate, utility records, things like that, any information we can get to show that somebody does in fact live out of state. And there could be multiple legitimate reasons for why they would live out of state but still vote here. But there's just not people asking questions.
Right.
Rather than cleaning up our voter rolls, and you maybe know that last January, Judicial Watch brought suit against numerous counties in the nation because they have more registered voters than people that are eligible to vote. And part
right.
of that is we have very permissive voter registration laws here in Colorado. Don't think that's going to change anytime soon with the Democrat-controlled House, Senate, and governor's office. But I think people need to be aware of the potential for fraud that's out there, and that there really is not due diligence being done at the county clerk's office.
That's why I really support you and admire you for doing this, because here's the thing, everybody's slamming everybody and they're saying, oh, it's conspiracy theory, things like that. You know, it's not, right? You found 3,000, and that's just from
tip of the iceberg, I
promise
you. Right,
exactly. And then you talk about, and I think this is where it gets so important also, the Dominion system. It's like Jefferson County's red, 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 all of a sudden, boom, Dominion comes in and now you're blue. It's like,
Well, also mail-in balloting came
right.
in. That's the other big thing that came in. Well, let me ask you this. Did you convey your results to our esteemed chairman of the Republican Party?
I've tried to. let me tell you, though, about one of our other, there's two pieces to what we're working on with our county clerk. The other is that we're trying to get the scanned ballot images.
Yes.
They're telling us it's going to be $10,000 to redact those ballot images. And we heard in testimony last week before the Legislative Audit Committee that other county clerks clean those up and make them available publicly on their website for no cost. And yet we're being told it's going to be $10,000. And we've pushed back on that. I've retained legal counsel, and
good.
We have an open records request in that we're negotiating. But so far, Jeffco hasn't been able, you know, willing to budge on that. And I think it's wrong to charge average citizens that much money. especially right. as some legislators pointed out last week, there is a statewide interest in running a county's election results through a system other than Dominion and or doing a hand recount to verify that it wasn't the Dominion software that influenced
right.
the election.
Right. No, I mean, you know, I was a reporter for years, and I can tell you with the open records, when they don't want to give it to you, it's really, really expensive. When they do, when they don't mind giving to you, they just give it to you for free.
I think they had some reforms last year concerning that, and so maybe there's other avenues to get that. But you're doing what
the Republicans
should have been doing, what the state chairman should have been saying and doing. In particular, you know, we find out that, you know, Trump got screwed in the election, not in the rural counties, but in the big city, ones in which they cheat like hell. And so if they cheat in Arapahoe, can you imagine what they do in Denver? It's unbelievable what they do in Denver. And so if you had a chairman who actually wasn't getting up and saying all our elections are perfect and they're fair and secure and the gold standard, maybe we could get somewhere.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like you guys uncovered a gold standard there, Denise, at the very least, huh?
No, and I need to point out there's only four counties in the state that did not, or where the Republicans did not certify the general election results.
Right.
Four out of 64 is just not right.
Right.
As a party chair, I would have appreciated some guidance from the state party on what my options were. I didn't have that, but I sought it out and had some good people that provide me advice.
Where did you find them?
People have been coming out of the woodwork. I actually have a team of seven people that are like software developers, you know, a wide variety of expertise to, you know, there's tons of information that's been thrown at us, and I simply cannot keep up with it. And so they review things, they give it back to me, distilled down, give me their professional opinion. It's been a huge help because this is a very complex thing. It's hard for people to understand, and it's even harder to challenge when
yes.
people, you know, throw up big words and complex ideas and say there is a gold standard, for instance, and dispute even the premise that we should question elections.
Right.
Yeah, to me, it's outrageous. You would think they should do an audit regularly. Yeah, I mean, to me, it just makes sense because here's the thing. So you have 3,000, okay. People tend to think nationally in the presidential election, but in Jefferson County races, I would imagine 3,000 is a lot of votes, and that could very well swing a local election. Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah, definitely. And as some of the legislators on the committee said last week, it is a good thing for the state to do an audit, and it was suggested, you know, four or five counties, Jeffco being one of those, but to restore public trust. Right now, there is not voter confidence, and that needs to be addressed. Otherwise, it's going to continue to get worse. And here in our county, I feel a responsibility to anybody I ask to run for office.
Yeah.
If they're automatically going to be voted down, even when there are really strong candidates that raise a lot of money, they should have a fair chance.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, that's true. You know, here in Adams County, where we live, the poll watchers were thrown out of the polls because the law says they may stay, not shall. And so they threw them all out. So if you'd been in Adams County, all your army of poll watchers would have all been thrown out, which is just one more indication of how corrupt the system is. And if anybody in Colorado, including Ken Buck, think this is a fair and secure election method and it's a gold standard, it is a matter of delusion, if not madness.
Well, and never be having a Republican elected again.
Hey, well, let her respond to that. I mean, you always, I mean, do you think when the party chair doesn't give you any help, well, you have to go out and find, and it's amazing you found seven. I mean, that's so wonderful. And then he gets up and goes on a caucus room call with a couple of Connie Kirk's in Republican counties and says this is the gold standards. How does that make you feel?
Well, it certainly is disheartening. It certainly did not dissuade me at all because I've seen the data, I've seen the facts, and I am pursuing truth in elections, whether that means the state party supports that effort or not. But the Republicans that have come forward to tout, we have a gold standard without being willing to be transparent and have a significant sized audit that would either prove it up or down. I mean, I'm fine with if the Dominion audit comes out being accurate, then everybody knows. But there's transparency that builds trust in the community when you do that.
Well, you know, the thing about Dominion, they don't cheat everywhere. They don't have to cheat. Well, they cheat where it's Democrats and they control the machines. And so if there's any cheating going on, it'd be in Denver. You'd have a huge turnout of Denver voters, you know, more than there are registered voters or something similar. In other counties, you know, they don't bother. And in Colorado, they don't bother too much because they can cheat by mail. Why cheat by machine when you can cheat by mail and cheat other ways? But it is to have security in Dominion software, which Republican Scott Gessler, who's apparently going to be our next Republican chair, who ensconced that on us, is sad. It's sad. Well, I have to say, Denise, you've become a hero to me.
I don't know if you're, Denise, you're on the phone, so you can't see. We have a chat section here, and everyone loves you. They're all saying we need a lot more like you. Everyone wants to move to Jefferson County. So,
well that's encouraging because I've gotten hate mail and hate voicemails and all of that, too. Tell everybody.
You call us, we'll give you the love, okay?
We'll give you the love. And if you want to see some great death threats, we'll give you show you some of ours.
Everybody loves you. Yeah. They're saying
not everybody, but a lot of good people out there love
Leo,
you. And the haters out there in the Democratic Party and the swamp Republicans probably hate you, but that's a matter of courage and you should wear it as a badge of courage.
And our Jeffco listeners are saying thank you. So yeah. Denise, thank you from all of us for what you're doing.
And keep us apprised. We like to hear how your fight goes, because I think it's exactly what Colorado needs, and you're what Colorado needs. So thank you so much.
Sure. Thank you. And thanks for having me on.
Sure. All right. Denise Munn there, Jefferson County Republican Party chairperson. Hey, I want to thank Matt Arnold. I guess Neil and Ben are going to be running for county chair or for Republican Party chair people now. No, that's a joke. Hey, want to remind folks, you can check all of, I think we might have had, I had some texts, some glitches on our site. You can catch the podcast later because I post them at chuckandjulie.com. Also, love to have you subscribe to us on YouTube. We only are five people away from getting 500. Hey, Ben. We've got, I see you come on here. We've got about 1 minute. So,
yeah, no, I'm not running for this.
I know. I was,
you're running for Colorado chair.
No, looks like they have a good chairman over there in Jeffco. We've got a good one here in Adams County. So, I'll leave it like that. And yes, I'm all supporting for Anil. For the state chair. That's what I say.
All right. Thank you, my drafted and elected Ben.
All right, it's been a great show. I want to thank everybody for listening in. We've got Christmas coming up, even if they try to cancel it on us. We're not going to be canceled, and we'll have a show on Friday. We may tape it a little early, but it'll be a great show.
But we'll be here back on Wednesday. Michael Tao, look at this. It's cyber hacking. What's going on there? We'll talk about that. Everybody have a great day. Thank you for listening.
Thanks to all the BBS guys and everybody else. And have a happy Christmas coming up. And we'll see you Wednesday, and we'll have a show on Friday. Thanks very much, everybody.